You may be here for the first time today. Maybe you're a long-time member, or maybe you're somewhere in between. But now what? Now what? There's a question we often ask ourselves, isn't it? You know, now what? What can I do to feel more a part of this spiritual community? You can pray. You can pray. I mean, no matter, even if, you know, whether you're a member or not a member, it's one of the most powerful things that we do in this ministry. It's one of the most powerful things that you can do in your life. Prayer is the foundation of this ministry. Prayer is the foundation of our life. And the most important thing that we can do for one another is to pray for one another. But how do we pray? That's a question I get asked quite a bit. Now, in Unity, how do we pray? You'll hear the term that we pray affirmatively, which means that we pray knowing the truth. We pray, you know, keeping the high watch, which means that we pray, when we pray with the person, we're holding them in an awareness of wholeness. And we speak affirmations of truth, things like, you are whole and perfect. God's mighty healing life is flowing through you now. And so we identify with wholeness. And we need to see the person that we're praying with in this consciousness of wholeness. Now, that may not have been the way you were taught to pray. You know, but in Unity, we do not pray begging. We don't plead. We don't beseech. And we do not make bargains with God. I don't know about you, but that's kind of the way I was brought up to pray. You may have also been taught to pray to God, which makes God this man outside of us that we're praying to. In Unity, we believe that God is an energy and a presence that is everywhere present. We say that. You heard it in the opening. There's one presence, one power in the universe and in my life, God the good, omnipotent, all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present. And so when we pray with someone, we pray knowing that they are already whole and perfect, regardless of the outer appearance. And that's what I did with Sandy in critical care the other day. When I went there, she had the appearance of not being whole and perfect, but that didn't matter because that was only the outer appearance. And so I was there, and Jeannie was there, too, and we just stood there, and we kept affirming, you are whole, Sandy, and you are perfect. And every cell of your body is alive and aglow with the infinite life of spirit, and you are perfect just as you are. And we kept affirming and knowing the truth for her. Mother Teresa had this gift, and there was somebody who once wrote, Mother Teresa looked into the eyes of the loneliest, sickest, and the most forgotten men and women on earth, and she saw their humanity and the divinity in their souls. She was a glowing example of how the love of God can be transformed into love of one's neighbor. How the love of God can be transformed into the love of one's neighbor. Now, that's what we practice and what we teach here. That's what Unity is all about. It's about loving one another and about honoring the divinity within each other. That's basically, if somebody asks you, what's Unity? We love one another and we honor the divinity within each other. And isn't it wonderful to know that you're a part of a spiritual community that believes in your wholeness and not your brokenness? That focuses on your magnificence and not those small little faults. You know, it loves you exactly the way you are, not for what it wants you to be. That's what I love about Unity. And so I want to ask you another question. Why go to church? Why do you go to church? Now, let me hear from someone. Why do you go to church? Anybody? Yeah. It just reminds me. Reminds me. Somebody said, to be inspired. What else? makes me feel good. Like-minded people. You know, maybe it's the message. Maybe it's the music. You know, but we come to feel affirmed. We come to feel lifted up. But there's another reason we come to church. And Eric Butterworth talks about this in one of the best books on prayer called Universe's Calling. And Eric has a whole chapter in there on why we go to church. And I think Universe's Calling is one of the best books on prayer. It's sort of up there with my book of the month for this month, for September, which is in your bulletin, the Handbook of Positive Prayer by Hypatia Hasbrook. And I know Bob is working with this book, Handbook of Positive Prayer, right, with the Unitines in their Sunday lessons. And so if you want a good book on prayer, Eric Butterworth's The Universe's Calling or Hypatia Hasbrook's Handbook of Positive Prayer, both great books. But Eric Butterworth in Universe's Calling, he talks about this time when he is in southern France and he's traveling around. And this one morning, he looks out his window because he's woken up by these cathedral bells chiming. And he sees dozens and dozens of people walking silently along this winding path to the cathedral to go to Mass before they go to work. And he's intrigued by this. So he gets dressed and he goes down and he follows them along. And this is what he writes. He says, "I am deeply moved by the devoutness of the faithful. And yet I always feel just a little bit sad, for it seems to me that so many people are reaching, searching, yearning for an experience of God that can only be found within themselves." And so we go in search of shrines and churches and cathedrals. I don't know about you. Maybe you have, or maybe you know somebody who's traveled halfway around the world to one of the sacred sites, that energy vortex, in search of the divine, in search of God, which is wonderful. But Eric writes, you do not have to go to church. I don't know, I can't believe I'm saying that as a minister. I want you here. You don't have to go to church, and you don't have to go any sacred place to get close to God. There is nowhere in all the world where you can get any closer to God than right where you are. You don't have to go to Red Rock and Sedona or the Four Corners or, you know, to Mecca, or there's nowhere that you can go that you'll be. Now, there may be certain energy places that you feel a little bit more inspired and lifted. Maybe at church you can go into that meditation a little bit deeper than you could by yourself at home. But there's no place you can go where God is any closer to you than where you are in every moment. And so no one can experience God for you. It's an experience that you have to have on your own. It's an awakening of consciousness, and it's something that you can experience any day. God doesn't have anything special for you on Sunday than you have access to on Friday, Tuesday, or Monday. And so why go to church? Eric Butterworth in Universe's Calling, he says there's a phenomenon that happens. That there's something very special when a group, large or small, gets together. When people get together with a common bond for a specific purpose, out of that bond emerges a group soul. I love that idea. Isn't that great? I mean, out of this common bond, there is this group soul that's formed. And that's why I think Jesus said, you know, where two or three are gathered in my, because of me, or together because of me, you can be sure that I'll be there. I'll be there. Sounds like, didn't Michael Jackson, "I'll be there, I'll be there"? So when two or three of you are together, gathered, be sure I'll be there. I'll be there. And so we have interpreted, though, to mean that the person Jesus will appear in our midst. Well, we've interpreted it wrongly. In unity, we know that when Jesus is speaking, he's speaking from the absolute. He's speaking from that Christ consciousness. And so what's being said here is when two or three are gathered in the consciousness of the Christ, in the awareness of love, the Christ consciousness of love and wholeness is there in the midst of them. And so there's something spectacular that happens when groups of people, large or small, get together, like-minded people, for a common goal. Eric Butterworth writes, "The great power of a church congregation or a small prayer group is not, sorry, in the music, or in the sermons of the service, although they're wonderful, I admit. But that's not the power of the church congregation or in the words exchanged in a prayer group, but rather in the mystical process that Eric calls the power of the swarm. When a group large or small comes together in a commitment of spiritual union or communion, that group becomes a group soul, a consciousness to which each person gives and from which each person receives. This soul has its needs, and at the same time it contains the answers to all of its needs, which includes all the needs of the people involved." Pretty cool, isn't it? So we're swarming. And there's a group soul that is created by all of us here. And all of our needs are met. That's why at the end of service, I don't know how many times I hear, that talk was just for me. How did you know I needed to hear that? You know, I feel so much better now after the service, after hearing that lesson or that music. Well, and know that when you're not here, your presence is missed. And the group soul is different. It has to rearrange itself. Eric writes, "In the prayer group or larger Sunday celebration service, if there is a willingness to swarm," now just think of a flock of birds or a school of fish. You know, if you go to a big aquarium and you see these huge big tanks and there's hundreds of fish swimming and they're all going in one direction, then all of a sudden, in a second, they just turn and they go the other way and they don't bump into each other. They somehow know when to turn, and they do it as one mind. There's only one mind. Bevan Garnett just sang that. Only God mind. Even flocks of geese, as they're flying, you know, they'll be all of a sudden that point bird will want to go in a different direction, but they all know. They just all turn and go. So there is this transcendent force that is guiding and controlling the whole. There's one mind. One mind. So Eric says, if there is a willingness to swarm, to let go of self and the ego needs, and give oneself over to the larger group, good of the group, there is a tremendous potential for power. Required are love, humility, and commitment to the greater good of all. If you give yourself lovingly to the group and trust the process, you will receive a great blessing. Isn't that great? I love what Eric said. If you give yourself lovingly to the group and you trust the process, you will receive a great blessing. And this is what's going to happen when you join a spiritual connection group. That will begin in a couple of weeks. We have a fall program starting on September 25th. We're calling it Thriving, Not Just Surviving. It's based on Eric Butterworth's book, Spiritual Economics. And I'll be speaking on a theme Sunday, and then during the week, from now until starting today, you'll have the opportunity to sign up for a spiritual connection group. They'll be in homes all over the area, different days of the week, different times. You get to sign up for something that works for you. But in these spiritual connection groups, there will be a group soul that is formed. They'll have a life of their own. Like-minded people getting together to study truth principles. People getting together to know each other, to get to know each other, to support each other, and most importantly, to pray together. And you'll be able to sign up online. Richard Morris has fixed it so that you can go to the website, and on the homepage, you can click to register. It'll take you to all the groups, and you can. There's maps of where they are, and it's just a wonderful process. So when you get home today, you can sign up. If you don't have access to a computer, Richard or Mary will be available in the atrium after service to get you signed up. So sign up for a group, because there is going to be great power going on in our small groups, small connections, spiritual connection groups. There's other great power that's created when we pray together as a group. And we always experience that during the World Day of Prayer, which is sponsored by Silent Unity. It's the second Thursday of September, which is coming up in just a few days, September 8th. And we will have an event here. But Silent Unity is our worldwide 24/7 prayer ministry and publishers of Daily Word. And this is the 18th annual World Day of Prayer, 18th year of our World Day of Prayer. Yeah. Started a few years after I was ordained as a minister. So I've almost my entire career has been honoring and praying on World Day of Prayer. And here we'll be sponsoring an 8-hour prayer vigil on Thursday at 12 noon. We'll open with an opening prayer service, and you'll have a chance to come any time during that 8 hours. And we'll close at 7 o'clock. From 7 to 8, we'll have an interfaith candlelighting service to close that 8-hour prayer vigil with. So anytime, you can sign up if you can come during the day, or just show up. You know, you find you have time, or your car all of a sudden is heading towards Unity of Bellevue. All the prayer energy will be pulling you here. If you can't come here to church, sit in prayer sometime during the day and hook in. There will be thousands of people all over the world joining together in prayer. So that's this Thursday. And a third way that experience that we have here at Unity of Bellevue is our Unity Prayer Chaplain program. And our prayer chaplains are here to pray with you after each service. And they're holding the high watch for you. They're creating that sacred space for you to step into and to be lifted in prayer. They've had hours of training, and they have made a commitment to their own personal prayer life. In the letter of James, it says, pray for others so that you may be healed. Isn't that interesting? When you pray for others, you change. Your life is transformed. You are healed at depth. Ask any of our prayer chaplains, and they will tell you it's a life-changing experience, right? It absolutely is. And so when we pray for another person, we don't pray to create a change in them. Rather, we pray to change our own thoughts about them. Eric Butterworth writes, I love this. Don't try to set them right. See them rightly. Think about that. Don't try to set them right to make them change in any way. You change your thoughts so you see them rightly. So I'd like to end today with this amazing story. It's an incredible story. It may change the way you think about prayer. It may change the way you pray. It will certainly show you how powerful a group of people can be when focused together in prayer. A missionary on furlough told this true story while visiting his home church in Michigan. While serving in a small field hospital in Africa, every 2 weeks I traveled by bicycle through the jungle to a nearby city for supplies. This took 2 days and required camping overnight at the halfway point. On one of these journeys, I arrived in the city where I planned to collect money from a bank, purchase medicine and supplies, and then begin my 2-day journey back to the field hospital. When I arrived in the city, I saw two men fighting, one of whom was seriously injured. I treated his injuries and at the same time talked to him about God. I then traveled 2 days camping overnight and arrived home without incident. And 2 weeks later, I repeated the journey. This time upon arriving in the city, I was approached by the young man that I had treated 2 weeks previously. And he told me that he knew I carried money and drugs. And he said, you know, some friends and I followed you into the jungle, knowing you would camp overnight. We planned to kill you and take your money and the drugs. But just as we were about to move into your camp, we saw that you were surrounded by 26 armed guards. At this I laughed and said that I was certainly all alone in that jungle campsite. And the young man pressed the point, however, and said, no, sir, I was not the only person to see the guards. My 5 friends also saw them, and we all counted them. It was because of those 26 guards that we were afraid and we left you alone. At this point in the sermon, one of the men in the congregation jumped to his feet and interrupted the missionary. He asked if he could tell him the exact day that happened. The missionary told the congregation the date, and the man who interrupted him told this story. On the night of your incident in Africa, it was morning here, and I was preparing to go out to play golf. Instead, though, I felt the urge to pray for you. In fact, the urging was so strong, I called men in this church to meet with me here in the sanctuary to pray for you. Would all of those men who met with me on that day please stand up? The men who had met together in prayer that day stood up. The missionary wasn't concerned with who they were. He was too busy counting how many men he saw. What do you think? There were 26. That's the power of prayer. That's the power of the swarm. And so I encourage you, sign up for a spiritual connection group and get into that group that will just begin to form that wonderful group. So participate. You'll be studying and praying together starting September, the week of September 25th. And then make sure to come this Thursday and be a part of our World Day of Prayer. 12 o'clock, our opening Silent Unity Prayer Service, and at 7, our closing Interfaith Candlelighting Service. And any time in between, come and sit in prayer. And we'll also have the labyrinth up for you to walk indoors or outdoors. It'll be a wonderful day this Thursday. So lend your prayer and let your light shine. God bless you.